Good evening, church. Pastor Paula here. I'm coming to you from my home this wonderful Wednesday evening, and I hope everyone is doing well. We will continue in our study in Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn there. Tonight, I want to talk about making the most of every opportunity, which begs the question, what do we do with our time? We have opportunities. So what do we do with our time? That we may recognize these opportunities, and when these opportunities arise, you know, what do we fill our time with that will help us to see opportunities that come our way? You know, Benjamin Franklin said, "Lost time is never found time." He also said, "Time is money," and he was referring to the concept of opportunity costing. It costs something. You know, if you have the opportunity to get a new job and you don't take that, that could cost you more income than you're normally making, or it could cost you a better work environment. Also, if you have an opportunity to help a friend out in need and you choose not to take that opportunity, you may have lost that opportunity to help them out, to may never get that opportunity back again. Just a lot of things like that, or it could just delay that opportunity to possibly another time that may not be as effective had the first one been. Time is valuable. Time is precious. Time is fleeting. Most importantly, time is a gift from God, and we don't know how much time we have, nor how many opportunities will come our way. So we really should strive to make the most of each day we are given. We should manage our time well, that we may make the most of every opportunity. And you may be thinking, well, why do we need to do that? But we're going to see in our text this evening that the why is because the days are evil, and this could not be more truer than today. So as always, Pastor Greg reminds us each week, you know, why are we here? Well, we're here to study, to show ourselves approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So our text this evening, again, it's in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20, and it reads, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus." Father God, add blessing to your word. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, and may our ears be open to receive, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive all that you have for us, Lord, that it may stick to our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a few observations before we get into the meat of what I have to say this evening. You know, he says to be careful how you live, or take heed how you live is another way to say that. Not as unwise, but as wise. That word unwise also translate fool. So you could either be a fool or you could be wise. And I don't think any of us want to be a fool. Ephesians 4:1, earlier in Ephesians, Paul urged the Ephesians to live a life worthy of the calling they have received. And over the last 4 weeks, we've learned, and you know, to put off the old self and put on the new. You know, and I fear there are days that I put on the old and new as if it were a sweater. You know, the weather's so crazy these days, and I get up and I'm freezing cold in the morning, so I put my sweater on, I get to work, and it's warm at work, so I take it off. And then a little bit later, I start getting cold again, I put my sweater back on. And sometimes that's how I am with the old and new. You know, I get up and I'm good, I pray, and I'm like, Lord, guide my day. I want your Holy Spirit to lead me. And then an hour and a half later, I'm got that old man or old woman back on again. And, you know, just sometimes there's days like that. And, you know, that should not be that way. You know, we learn to speak the truth in love, to be kind and forgiving, and to not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, that's when we're putting that old man or that old woman back on. That there should be no hint of sexual immorality in our lives. And that we are to find out what pleases the Lord, walking in the light and daily communion with him. you know, that really is the most important. Lord, the Lord should be number one in our life. We should do everything to please Him. Everything we do as if we're doing it unto the Lord. The next observation is what I want to talk about tonight, and that's making the most of opportunity. And why? Because the days are evil, you know, as in the days of Noah. That's why God came down. He saw how evil the people were, and He came to Noah, and He's like, I want you to build an ark. It took a lot of years for Him to build that ark, but He was doing, God's purpose was because the days were evil. And, you know, He wanted to save Noah and his family. They were the only, Noah was the only righteous man he could find at that time. The other observation is understanding the Lord's will. And this really goes hand in hand with understanding what pleases the Lord, which Pastor Greg had talked about last week. You know, both should be our top priority. Knowing what pleases the Lord gives us understanding of His will. And we learn and know His what pleases Him and understanding His will by studying His word, by having that close relationship with Him, that we wake up every day and we have that time with Him. And then Paul contrasts being drunk on wine with being filled with the Spirit. You know, one gives us a temporary high and one gives us everlasting joy. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want a temporary high. I want a everlasting joy that I'm high on the Spirit of God all of the time. So what is all this meaning for us tonight? You know, again, the focus is making the most of every opportunity. You know, making the most of every opportunity begins with how we live our life. You know, we are to choose wisdom, not just any wisdom, but we're to choose godly wisdom. Psalm 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, wisdom comes from spending time delighting in God's word, studying it, understanding what it says and what it means. Do you truly delight in God's word? Now, you know, there's time you might be reading through Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy, and sometimes it's kind of hard to delight in that. There's a lot of rules and regulations and all that stuff. But you know, there are a lot of good nuggets even in that portion of scripture that you can draw out and delight in God's word and delight in how much He loves His people, that He laid down these laws for them. You know, wisdom is walking in the counsel of God's word and acting upon it. So you don't just delight in it, but you act upon it. And when you act upon it, you're going to be daily walking in the counsel of His word. When you have a decision to make, God's word is going to come and remind you of what to do. When a temptation comes, God's word is going to remind you, oh, there's no temptation, that there won't be a way of escape. Wisdom is reverencing God. It often says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but that means to reverence Him. Wisdom is being careful how you spend your time and who you spend your time with. I really like how the Message reads in these same verses in Psalm 1. It says, how well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. I have to confess, I used to go to Smart Mouth College, and every now and then that creeps out of my mouth. But, you know, I just praise the Lord that He has changed me, and that He can call me blessed, because I don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. You know, I don't walk into Dead End Roads or hang at Sin Saloon. I have the Holy Spirit that brings conviction when I start heading down those directions. It helps snatch me from the fire, as I'm sure many of you do. You know, when we begin to delight in God's word and meditate on it, we will be changed. We will be changed. Making the most of every opportunity is understanding the times we live in. The word says the days are evil. They were evil at the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, and they're evil today. You know, with all of the division within our church, not our church, I'm sorry, the division within our country, the political division over this pandemic, you know, just so many things that are going on. And you know, actually there is division in our church in respects that, you know, there's those that don't want to come to church because of COVID, those that, you know, are comfortable come to church. We're just divided on what we should be doing. You know, there's division in our families, in our friendships, you know, even at workplaces, just about everywhere you go, there's always this conversation going on, this debating about what should be happening. And, you know, so these are evil. Satan is having a heyday right now. This pandemic, you know, it was an open door for him to come in and just solidify the division that had already begun rising in our country long before the pandemic happened. You know, it has opened the door for the government to try and quiet the church. We haven't been able to meet in our building. And finally, you know, the courts made a ruling that we can meet in our building. We have restrictions still. We can't meet at full capacity, but we're allowed to meet. And which is so important because the church needs to be together. We need not forsake the assembling of them. So we need to make the most of opportunities because these days are evil. You know, again, it was an open door to cause rational people to become fearful and irrational. I'm amazed at the people I know that I always thought of as rather rational and very smart people and how this pandemic has really brought fear in them. You know, it was an open door to scourge and dismantle our children's lives. This, of all of them, really breaks my heart. I mean, our kids can't go to school. They have no social life. They have no joys of what it means to grow up getting into mischief, sharing memories with others. You know, the things that you learn and experience in school from kindergarten all the way through college, this is part of growing and life lessons that you learn, going to prom, playing sports, falling in love for the first time, you know, having a boyfriend, a girlfriend, just all these different things. This is what shapes who they are. And they're missing out on this. You know, depression is on the rise. And sadly, even suicide, all of these things. And, you know, but again, this is what makes our days evil. The value of community has been taken from them. It has really been taken from many of us. So understanding the times we are living in, we are the light in this dark nation of ours. We are the light in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our cities. You know, are we making the most of every opportunity to let our light shine, our faith in God shine? Every interaction we have with another person is an opportunity to bring hope and encouragement. It's an open door to share the gospel. It is an open door to bring encouragement and hope, to lift someone up, to lend a helping hand. Every time you get a prayer request, that's an opportunity not only to pray for that person, but God may put something on your heart for that person. Maybe it's to bring them a meal. Maybe it's just to send them a text or write them a little note of encouragement. But those are opportunities. Making the most of every opportunity is understanding what the Lord's will is. Again, last week, Pastor Greg talked about finding what pleases the Lord, which is synonymous with understanding the Lord's will. What pleases the Lord leads to understanding His will and His timing. This is especially important in matters within our family, be it our home or our church family. You know, stepping back and asking God for wisdom in the moment. I especially need to do this with my adult children because I don't have control over their lives. You know, when they were under 18 and living in my home, I could tell them what to do. But now they're adults and I have to step back and I have to say, you know what, Lord, give me wisdom. I need to be quick to listen. I need to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. You know, this world is volatile enough as it is without us adding to it because we are frustrated or because we are tired or didn't manage our time well. I know that when I don't manage my time well, I take it out on those closest to me. I get easily frustrated and they don't need that. You know, we are to live as children in the light, and this is wisdom, and this pleases God. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This not only pleases the Lord, it also gives us an understanding of God's will. Understanding that the Lord's will is loving the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we know that our neighbor is anyone that we come in contact with. You know, his will is to make the most of every opportunity by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we do this with our words and we do with this with our deeds. And our food outreach was a great opportunity for us to reach our community, to be that light in this dark world right now. You know, refreshing the soul of another by words of encouragement or by a simple act of kindness. Maybe it's buying a stranger a lunch or a dinner. You know, we may never know how much that blesses them. I recently drove through Starbucks to get something and I went up to pay and they're like, oh, the person before you already paid for you. You know, it kind of caught me off guard at a moment because I thought, wow, that's never happened to me. I was really blessed. I was encouraged by that. And, you know, that it gave me a little glimpse at not only how people must feel, strangers, when we do that for them that maybe are homeless or are really in need, just that act of kindness. But mostly, it reminded me of how God sees all I need and how God provides for me. He's truly the one that was providing for me in that moment. And what a blessing that is. God uses us. He's the vessel he uses to bless other people. Making the most of every opportunity requires a spirit-filled life. You know, Paul contrasts being drunk on wine with being filled with the Spirit. You know, being drunk on wine, that takes us back to the old way of life. You know, being drunk on wine, we lose our senses. We engage in activities that aren't pleasing to God, and we miss opportunities that God has placed before us. Or maybe in the midst of that opportunity, we just blow it. And that's it. You know, it could cause someone to say, I don't want to have anything to do with God if this is how Christians act. You know, and so being drunk, again, we don't think clearly and it's just not a pleasing state to be in it. You know what? It's not just being drunk on wine. It's being drunk on gossip. It's being drunk on fill in the blank. Whatever takes you away from doing the Lord's will, whatever takes you away from pleasing the Lord. And I'm sure that when I said it isn't just being drunk on wine, it isn't just being drunk on gossip, we all immediately had something in our mind that said, you know what, that's what I need to stop doing because it's taking away from what pleases the Lord. You know, these things just lead to debauchery, self-indulgent, wastefulness, lost opportunities. A spirit-filled life produces fruit that is lasting, that's beneficial, that feeds our souls and helps us to make the most of opportunities. A spirit-filled life builds us up, lifts us up, and it encourages others. A spirit-filled life guides our speech with and towards one another. Speaking the truth in love, you know, singing, speaking over one another with psalms and hymn, that is speaking the truth in love as well. You know, I love our time of worship when we come together as a church body. Oftentimes when I sit at my piano and I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord as I sing, I can picture our church family singing together in my mind's eye and the joy that fills my heart. I just love it. And then I just really get carried away with the song. And I can, like I said, I can just see everybody singing, some of us standing and raising our hands or seeing the worship team up there playing. And you know, it just brings such joy and it's speaking that truth in love over one another as we sing and as we speak out. You know, our hearts will be filled with songs from the Spirit. The message says, sing hymns instead of drinking songs. I really like that. Allow the Holy Spirit to put a song in your heart of praise and adoration to the Lord. When we are singing a song in our heart to the Lord, then it's going to keep us focused on those opportunities that come our way. A spirit-filled life gives thanks to the Lord in all things. All situations, all circumstances, all opportunities, no matter how gloomy or hopeless the outcome may seem, God knows his plan for you to give you a hope and to give you a future. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know, when we have that new song in our heart, it comes out in our attitude, in our countenance, in everything. And when people see that, they will be in awe of the Lord and they will put their trust in him when we take that opportunity to bless them or to tell them about God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is God's will, and this is what pleases God, that we are always joyful, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. So how do we apply this? You know, we are to make the most of every opportunity. Again, you know, I talked about Noah earlier. Noah made the most of the opportunity God gave him when building the ark, but that opportunity didn't last forever. The day came when God closed that door. You know, I am sure that many people either mocked Noah or they questioned him or they, you know, he probably just had a lot of opportunities to share about God's faithfulness to many people that came his way. But like I said, one day God shut that door. He closed that door. And you know, there are doors of opportunity that God's placed before us. And we need to understand that they're not going to remain open forever. So are we going to keep our eyes open for those opportunities and not allow that door to be shut? You know, what will you do with your time? Will you squander it binge watching TV shows or looking for opportunities that God has placed before you? I've been guilty of sitting and binge watching shows when opportunities, there were other opportunities I could have taken, but I said, no, I'm just going to kick back and do this. You know, and I need to be saying, Lord, help my focus to be on the opportunities that you have for me, that I may sacrifice my rest, my relaxation, what I want to do, because what you have for me, God, that opportunity is far better than anything I could come up with. You know, it's not hard to spot an opportunity, you know, because again, every encounter with another person is an opportunity. You know, we watch our grandkids, two of our grandsons on Fridays, and that is an opportunity every week to love them, to let them know how cherished they are, to teach them how to pray when we sit and have lunch, to read to them, to really, you know, be a part of their growing up. And I get to see my daughter-in-law every Friday, and I enjoy the conversations that we have together. So every encounter with another person is an opportunity. Keep that in mind every time. So how will you recognize these opportunities? You know, by yielding to the will of the Father. Yield to the wisdom and understanding of God's word. Yield to the filling, leading, and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Purpose in your heart to make the most of every opportunity. And I want to leave you with this reminder. You know, Jesus made the most of every opportunity God gave to him when he came to earth to walk among us, love us, heal us, teach us all about the Lord. He didn't count being up there in heaven with God greater than coming down here to be with us. He says, you know what, this is an opportunity to show the people my love for them, to draw them near, to walk with them, to teach them, to help them understand what the kingdom of God is like. You know, when Jesus was walking amongst the crowd and the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, he took that opportunity. He could have kept walking through the crowds, but he stopped and he's like, "Who touched me?" And she stood and she said, "I did." He took that opportunity to raise her up out of her shame, to make sure that she was healed. He said, "Your faith has healed you." And he took that opportunity for her to be in community once again. She had spent many years as an unclean person, not able to be around anyone. But Jesus, he took that opportunity. You know, when the woman that was caught in adultery was brought to him, he took that opportunity not only to raise her up out of her shame again and tell her, "Woman, go and sin no more. Where are your accusers?" But he also took that opportunity to teach his accusers that they were no better than her, that they too had sin. God is good, and Jesus is always our example. Let us take every opportunity that comes our way. Let us say, "Lord, give us those eyes to see that opportunity," because we want to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father God, thank you for your word. I thank you for all those who are listening, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just bless them, Lord. If there's anyone that's listening to this, and maybe you're saying right now, I don't know the Lord, but I want to know him because I want to learn how to make the most of those opportunities. Well, this is your opportunity to just ask Jesus into your heart. All you have to do, just right where you are, say, you know what, Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask that you come into my heart, that you become the Lord of my life. And he will do that right now. It's just a simple prayer. And if you've prayed this prayer, I encourage you, on our contact information on our website, it has a phone number. Give us a call so that we can rejoice with you. As we go, let us remember, what does the Lord require of each of us but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? God bless you all. I love you and hope to see you soon.